My name is Nicole Fernandez, and it is 2019, and I am an AmeriCorps Vista member serving at Bridge Refugee Services in Knoxville, Tennessee.
I'm Matthew Gabb, and I am an AmeriCorps member serving at Beardsley Community Farm, also here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
I'm Sarah Keel. I am an AmeriCorps Vista member with Mobile Meals Kitchen, which is Knoxville's Meals on Wheels affiliate, and I'm also serve with CAC Beardsley Community Farm.
Nice. So I guess for me personally, I kind of wanted to do AmeriCorps as an alternative to Peace Corps. It's been this thing that I've been wanting to do, and I decided to do it once I graduated from university, and I graduated in 2016, took some time off, and then I decided to do AmeriCorps. So that's kind of how my AmeriCorps journey came about.
Yeah, and you'd known for a few years that you wanted to do AmeriCorps, right?
Yeah, because AmeriCorps doesn't have a citizenship requirement like Peace Corps does. And being a green card holder, it was more appealing to me because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the reason I looked into AmeriCorps was because of the incredible successful year that my closest friend in college had with a site called Impact in Birmingham, Alabama. And she had such a great time there that it just made me want to come back to my own home state and do it for myself.
Yeah, I had a slightly different route from most people. A lot of folks in Knoxville just come straight out of undergrad or like take a gap year doing something else like Nicole did and then come to it, or like came from it from a service background like Sarah did. But I started in the private sector after college doing corporate healthcare software and realized that I hated that and it was soul sucking. Met a lot of incredible people, but I felt like I was doing more for insurance companies than patients. And I realized, having studied anthropology and focusing on public policy and the lived experience of policy, that I wanted to make more of a direct impact. And I felt that that was more where I would be happiest and where I could do the most good in the world. I sort of heard about AmeriCorps some in college. I had a friend who did it during my senior year. She was a year older than me, so it had been in the back of my mind. And so while I was in the private sector, I just kind of decided to make the leap into it, kind of seeing where things were going in the world and wanting to be more in the trenches, go to a place I'd never been. And so I somehow found CAC AmeriCorps through the AmeriCorps postings and there all the endless opportunities that exist there all across the country. And yeah, I got a call from the AmeriCorps officer in Knoxville from Ariel, and listening to her talk about her experience as an AmeriCorps member here in Knoxville and how she stayed, I thought was really powerful for me because, hearing that AmeriCorps and Knoxville both had staying power with her and both impressed on her so thoroughly that she, after her service, continued to work in AmeriCorps and continued to stay in the town that she served. And even though she had never been here and knew no one here, just like I would have been doing, really showed me, like, okay, this is something that I could love and could change my life for the better if I do it.
Well, I'm really glad that I get to be a part of both of y'all's AmeriCorps journey.
Oh.
You're both a very big part of it.
I guess you brought this up earlier, Matthew, with how talking about like how we're all three second year members. My motivation for deciding to do it again at the same site has been just, it's kind of funny. I knew a month into my first term that I wanted to stay for a second one. And, you know, part of that is because of how great the staff at Bridge is and the work that they do in the community. But then also, like, the spirit of, I guess, fellowship that CDC AmeriCorps really tries to foster for its members. And just getting to know Knoxville and community. So those were my motivations for doing the second year. And also, hey, if it buys me more time to figure out what the next step is.
I mean, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I'm all for it. But yeah.
So that's the way I can think of to buy time. So.
Yeah, because I know most AmeriCorps members, you know, they do 1 year. Most of our, you know, friends from our first year just do 1 year, and then they go on to their next thing. But, you know, I almost wish AmeriCorps was like Peace Corps, where you had to do 2 whole years of it, because I feel like I'm kind of only now doing a second year, coming into my own and figuring out myself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just professionally, but personally as well. And I think I needed the second year in order to have that. And it's been really nice. Unlike Nicole, I did not know the first month. Like, I came into this, you know, being like, oh, I'm moving to Tennessee. I'd only ever lived in Maryland and D.C. and Wisconsin, and we're going to stay north of the Potomac River.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, yeah, I'll go to Tennessee for a year, see what it's like in the South, and then, you know, get out of Dodge and move on. But then within a few months, I knew pretty soon that even though I decided not to stay at my original AmeriCorps site, that I still wanted to do AmeriCorps because it had been so incredible, and I'd seen how it was for both of you and how much of an impact y'all were having with your service, and wanting to have that for myself and also stay in Knoxville, even though I like came in with a plan, do it for a year, go to grad school. And like, that's still my plan, but to put it off and be able to continue doing something I love in a place that I love with people whom I really respect and adore. I'm so glad I did a second year. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Oh, no, me neither. I mean, I decided to stay for multiple reasons. One, I felt like I had a lot of projects that I wanted to see through to the end, I think.
Mm-hmm.
1 year of service is wonderful, and it's a great deal of time, and it's a wonderful way to give back to the community, but it's not always the right amount of time to really get, like, the projects that you might want done. So
especially since you're the only one of us who stayed at the same place and in the same position.
Right, because, well, I mean, my project was agriculturally based, which meant it's not going to follow the traditional AmeriCorps calendar. So it really did make sense for me to see things through to the end, to stay for a second year. And coming into it, I thought it might just be more of the same. You know, I'd be working on the same fundraising events, doing the same thing with the same people, but it's really been just completely different. There's so many aspects that have been added to my AmeriCorps experience by doing a second year. I've really enjoyed it, and I feel like I've gotten like twice as much out of it as I did my first year. And I'm just happy to be here with these wonderful people.
And that's also like for me, another aspect is the social aspect. Because, like, if I hadn't decided to do a second year, obviously I wouldn't be living with y'all. And then, like, our relationship would be different.
Your life would be worse.
Yeah, it would be. I'm sorry for you just thinking about it.
And that's been something that's been really, that I've been thinking about a lot, and that has been bringing me joy, just thinking about my life here with you two.
Yeah, that's a big reason I wanted to stay a second year. I mean, yeah, like you said, Nicole, like that personal aspect too, like, because it's not just improving yourself professionally, like you were talking about, Sarah, but also, you know, I was like, okay, like, I've been here for a year, and I'm starting to find my place in this place, and with these relationships and things. And of course, it's different with AmeriCorps than if I had been just, like, then, like, in my year in Wisconsin when I was, you know, where it took a year to finally find my place there, because, you know, I was the first to leave there, but everyone else stayed, and if I had stayed, like, it just would have been the same folks who I would have been growing into it with. But with AmeriCorps, you know, so many people that we knew left for other, you know, incredible things that they're doing in the world. And, you know, there's still a kind of a core group of folks, you know, other AmeriCorps alums, you know, a few other second years who stayed around. But even with, you know, having to transition and making new friends with all the first years, you know, it was nice having that, you know, the kind of, honestly, like, the fact that you two, like, just keep me so grounded, and, like, I have my center here at home with both of you, and I think that's what kind of helped make it that, like, I was able to not only grow into a place like anyone else could after recently moving to a place where they knew no one, but continue to thrive in it even with having to completely adjust my life around a new set of people, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think it was having that foundation literally at home that did that. Plus, who else would I, like, eat cheese and talk about my life with on a nightly basis? So.
Yeah. Questions we all ask ourselves.
I guess I should say what we all do. That would be kind of important.
Nah.
Let's see. Well, in my first year of AmeriCorps, I was with the Knox County Office on Aging in their volunteer assisted transportation program, which uses volunteers to drive largely homebound seniors who can't drive anymore around to doctor's appointments, the grocery store, visiting grandkids, things like that. Because, you know, for so many of them, the only way that they get to the doctor otherwise is in an ambulance and an emergency. And being the VISTA there was an incredible experience. And I was the first one they'd ever had, so there was, you know, a lot of adjustment for all of us. But I think that was an incredible experience. And then moving now over to Beardsley Community Farm, where I moved out of the office and into the dirt, and, you know, working. My mother still is in disbelief that her son is a farmer. She never thought that would happen in a million years. But yeah, I'm getting to be in the dirt, help with fundraising, feeding hundreds of people in Knox County, you know, every day during peak harvest season, donating 10,000 pounds of produce every year to, you know, nonprofits and hunger relief organizations, you know, has been really, I mean, I've learned a lot about plants and seasons and growing things and food and agriculture, but I've also just learned a lot about food justice and food sovereignty and how do we make sure that everyone has equitable access, you know, not just based on, you know, your finances, but also based on your access to transportation. You know, if say you're in a wheelchair, but you're a quarter mile from a grocery store, but the sidewalk is garbage, you know, like, is that truly access, you know? And learning about all of those things and getting to contribute to alleviating those injustices and disparities has been incredible and has kind of just altered my path and put me on the path I'm on now, and I'm really grateful for that. Thanks, Beardsley.
For me, I am a second year, I mean, we're all our second years, at Bridge. Last year I was the volunteer coordinator. That was one of my main roles. This year, I kind of work on our communications, working on our outreach, working on developing a co-sponsorship, our existing co-sponsorship program. But what Bridge does is we are the only refugee resettlement agency in East Tennessee. And so we've been around since the early 80s. Welcoming refugees from all over the world. We're kind of their first point of contact when they get to the United States. And we also work with asylees, so people who've been granted asylum. And so we provide resettlement services for those different groups of people. And for me, coming from an international background as an immigrant to not just one North American country, but two, I've always had that in the back of my mind as something that I wanted to do, the idea of, like, welcoming people who are new to the country. Where it differs, obviously, is the idea of forced settlement, forced resettlement, or forced migration, and that's been really eye-opening for me. It's something that's familiar but still unfamiliar, and much like Matthew, I would say that my experience at Bridge has kind of set my life on a different path. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of excited to see where that path takes me.
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, I'm doing a second year in the same position with Mobile Meals. And a little bit about Mobile Meals is that they serve hot, nutritious meals every weekday to around 900 homebound seniors in Knox County. And so these are seniors who live alone, are over the age of 60. They can't cook for themselves, and they have no one at home to cook for them. And so these are people who really appreciate not only receiving a meal every day, but also what our volunteers do. And what our volunteers do is they drive our routes around town and drop off meals at clients' houses. A lot of the times what you'll see is our volunteers might be the only people that that senior might see that day, or our volunteers might be the only people that they see that week. And so this really is a wonderful opportunity to talk and chat and socialize in a way that they might otherwise not have. And so it's been really wonderful to be a part of something so wide-reaching. Mobile Meals serves all of Knox County and surrounding counties as well. They serve food to not only homebound seniors, but also in congregate sites in high-rises in Knoxville, and to other programs as well. So all in all, it ends up being about 3,000 meals a day coming out of that kitchen, which is
that's a lot.
So one of the biggest things that I've been able to witness is how everything that it takes for an operation like that to run. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got 100 volunteers that you have coming through a day. Those all have to be recruited and trained. You've got 3,000 meals being cooked. You've got staff members counting out meals and loading them up into coolers, and just seeing the logistics of all of that and everything that it takes to make that work. It's just incredible to witness. And my role in that has been through our partnership with Beardsley Community Farm, which is, do you remember Matthew talking a little bit about that? So I spend a good deal of time at the farm as well. I help them with fundraising events and also recruiting volunteers for the Farm to Senior volunteering program over the summer. And what that is Beardsley graciously gives us some of their produce that they grow during peak harvest season. And we have volunteers come through and they actually help use some of that produce in the kitchen, and they go directly into meals for homebound seniors in Knox County. And so what you'll see is you'll have a volunteer that could harvest a piece of produce, and it gets immediately processed and put into a meal and out on a senior's table within 48 hours. It's really incredible to be a part of that, and I've really enjoyed it and gotten a lot out of it.
Yeah. It must be really cool to be part of that, like, life cycle to see.
Yeah, I mean, you really don't get, like, I mean, you don't get much more local than your next door neighbor farm. You know, like, that is the epitome of local food. So I feel like we're really kind of living out that ideal there.
I mean, it's been great for us at the farm too, because so often, you know, we're just donating directly to organizations, and then they distribute it to their clients. So we don't necessarily, you know, like Nicole was saying, we don't see that life cycle,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is a really good way of putting it. We bring it to them, mm-hmm. and we drop it off, and that's kind of the end of it. But like, at least, you know, with the new Farm to Senior program, we kind of see the whole thing. You know, we see it, mm-hmm. we see it being harvested, we see it being processed, because our volunteers are the ones helping with that. We see it getting put into the meals. You know, we occasionally help with the routes and things, so we see it go mm-hmm. into the hands of seniors. You know, we see it literally from the farm to the table.
Yeah.
And it's really been incredible, you know, not just for me, just in my time at Beardsley, but I think for the farm, you know, in its 21 years of history, it's one of the first times, you know, we get to really see the direct impact that local, healthy, organic, fresh produce can have in people's lives. And and so many of the AmeriCorps members in Knoxville, including, you know, the three of us, are all working in food. And so much of even what other folks do that doesn't seem to be related to food all comes back
to food.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, like all of it just keeps coming back, you know, because that's how we energize our bodies. It's how cities and transportation networks are planned around. You know, it's how we mm-hmm. plan our social times and our family times and things like that.
And our StoryCorps
times. It all comes, all the issues that we're about all come back to food. And it's been really amazing watching AmeriCorps here in Knoxville move from not only focusing on the environment and all the important things that need to be done there with, you know, stormwater and in the national parks with invasive species mm-hmm. and with IAMS Nature Center and things like that, but then also expand to this wider view of how a city and a region function and thrive for everyone who lives there
mm-hmm.
and getting to see that, being a part of, you know, the beginning of it and seeing that growth here in Knoxville, I think has been really, really eye-opening, because Knoxville and CAC AmeriCorps are both growing so rapidly and in ways folks couldn't imagine, you know, from talking to people who have been in Knoxville for a long time, couldn't have imagined even, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. Being a part of that has been really cool, and I know I wouldn't have had an experience like that if I hadn't done AmeriCorps.
Yeah, I feel the same way about the uniqueness that is AmeriCorps. It just makes all of these opportunities really accessible for people who wouldn't otherwise have that. So I'm really grateful for CSC AmeriCorps.
And I think my favorite part about kind of seeing already how AmeriCorps and even, you know, Knoxville in our year and a half so far here has so dramatically changed has been like then like seeing like, okay, I've seen where it's gone in the last year and a half. I can kind of see like, all right, it has hope for the future and like how it's going to grow and change and shape other people going forward. And I think, you know, like I mentioned, the fact that CAC AmeriCorps is focusing, you know, also on poverty and food and health, I think is really essential, especially for a city like Knoxville that has been growing at such a rapid clip. And, you know, and it's struggling, but I think getting better in Knoxville at finding that balance between, you know, growing and bringing in new people, you know, like a lot of the AmeriCorps members, bringing them into the city and into the community and making them part of it, but then also ensuring that the community is made better for the people who already live there. And it's been interesting watching kind of that dance almost that Knoxville is having to play. And I think before we got here was really struggling with and was more bringing a lot of people in, a lot of new companies and industry and service sector growth and all of that, and now is starting to kind of recalibrate and make sure that the people who are here already
have that sense of community.
Yes, exactly. And I think the growth in CAC AmeriCorps is going to be a huge part of that, and is a huge part of it. And I think it's a big reason why, you know, a lot of the community is, you know, is getting that finally. And I think that's been really incredible to be a part of and to see.
I think what stuck out to me the most about what you just said was regarding the growth of CAC AmeriCorps itself. I mean, just purely looking at, I mean, every year it seems like they're adding new sites that you're surprised, honestly, that they weren't sites before. I was looking at the sites for next year, and there are new sites that are just going to be able to focus on lots of different aspects of the Knoxville community that often get overlooked. And so I'm really excited to see that growth, you know.
Sorry for the interruption. My dog is being ornery over in the corner.
It's incredible to witness, honestly. One really cool thing that we've also talked about Knoxville and being in AmeriCorps is getting a chance to talk to a lot of people that were previously in AmeriCorps. And the truth is there are a lot of those people in Knoxville.
Oh my gosh.
It draws people in, and it keeps them here, and it creates this, like, really kind of tight-knit community of service-oriented individuals.
Throw a rock and you'll hit an AmeriCorps alum.
Exactly. And that can only speak to good things coming in the future, especially with the expansion of this program and the way that it's been happening. I think we're all pretty optimistic about the future of AmeriCorps in Knoxville.
You know, sometimes I, like, go into a meeting with people, and it's, like, it's not that I recognize someone, but, like, there's almost, like, this beacon, like, I feel like that person might have been an AmeriCorps member. Yeah. some, like, vibe they're giving off, or, like, some of the things that they're saying, like, I, like, look, and I'm just, like, could you, like, were you? I don't know.
Yeah, it's easier than I thought it would be to, like, tell the type of people who have, like, done AmeriCorps in the past. Because I'm like, oh, this is someone who's speaking really passionately about what they do and their community and how they want to do nothing but work to make it a better place. Like, they're probably an AmeriCorps alum.
I feel like y'all did such a good job talking about where you envision the future of CEC AmeriCorps. It really touched upon a lot of points that I was kind of thinking of. We are but one person. it's nice to be part of this, like, broader community, I guess, especially for me, because, like, I moved around quite a bit in my life growing up, so it's nice to have this, like, built-in community. And another exciting thing about having so many different sites each year is having such a diverse set of people come in every year, too, seeing it move from just, like, an environmental core to something that is, like, so much, like, a mosaic of, like, all these different, like, organizations and nonprofits and agencies.
Great word, mosaic.
Thank you. So that's something I'm definitely excited for, you know, 5 years from now if I come back to visit Knoxville. I'm stoked to see where it is. And also for me personally, looking forward, mid-20s, trying to figure out what's next, waiting to hear back from... waiting to hear back from grad schools. It's exciting, and my heart clenches every time I get an email.
4 months of constantly refreshing my inbox.
Check that spam folder.
And that's another thing. Living with Matthew and Sarah, it's kind of nice that we're all in the same boat together.
I've never loved being codependent on people more
than I have
for the last, 7 months or so.
I mean, we say this all the time, but any living situation after this is just downhill from here.
The bar is really high. Well, I just wanted to, I guess, close out by saying thank you to both of you for being my roommates. And also,
you're welcome.
And also, I guess, thanks to CEC AmeriCorps for bringing us together.
Yeah, we would not know each other otherwise.
Absolutely. There's no way.
I knew, like, first day of Vista orientation in Atlanta, you know, we get that email from Sarah being like, hey, does anyone want to meet up over here? We're all going to be living in the same town.
Yeah, Sarah Keel, natural social butterfly. Like,
I mean, but it set this off, you know, like that you were the first two people that I met.
Yeah.
Because we were the first three we were the first three down there.
Mm-hmm.
At the appointed time, according to your email, the three of us have never been on time. At least we all met at the one appointed time we needed, even if we've never done that since.
Incredible.
I mean, and like the moment that I met you two, I knew, I was like, yeah, I found my home. I found my chosen family. And AmeriCorps has become my family. And my home, especially knowing and loving and cooking with and living with and laughing along the two of you. Like, I don't even have the words for what I think the phrase life-changing is thrown around too often, but just like what a fulfilling experience. You know, I haven't felt this filled
since that lasagna you cooked last night.
Since that lasagna. You're right. But I can't even remember when. Mm-hmm. Last time I felt this full of love and friendship and support.
Oh.
So thank you both.
Oh.
And thank you to Potomac, our dog.
Comes out of your room, Sarah.
Oh, he does love
his
my
favorite.
Room.
Oh god, we're even bad at ending.
About that email that I sent at PSO, I just remember being alone in my hotel room and just thinking, like, I don't know how I'm going to meet people, like all this stuff. And then I saw that they gave us a list of everybody and their emails. And so I was super creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, searched through everybody and I, like, emailed all the VISTA members at CAC AmeriCorps, and these two showed up, and and here we are, like, a year and a half later, like, gosh, I don't know. Honestly, I don't think I would be, like, the person that I am without meeting both these two and the other members of AmeriCorps from last year and this year. Just following their example and the way they see the world and the intentionality they put into things, it's just been really a wonderful experience for me and a wonderful growing experience for me. And I'm just so grateful to have had this opportunity. Every single person that I've met in AmeriCorps has been incredible. I always think it's going to end at some point. Like, I'll meet someone, you know, not that great. But it hasn't happened yet. So that speaks a lot about the quality of people that come into this program. So I'm just happy to have been here and to be here with y'all.
There's a word you said that I've been thinking a lot about recently, intentionality.
Mm.
Because I think you have both mentioned it to me at different points over the last couple of months and said that because we are just one giant hive mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here in our apartment. And it's made me think a lot, like, you know, because my parents ask me, like, you know, as my service is coming to a close, like, oh, like, what did you learn? Like, what's, you know, along with, like, have you heard from grad school yet? Along with that question. So
when
that
did
I
we get the big envelope?
Which one's your top choice?
Oh, God. And they're like, when are you getting off the phone, Bill? You know, all those questions.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. Do we need to have a talk, Matthew?
Fine. It's cheaper for all of us. I've been thinking the last couple weeks. And I think it's that word that you said, Sarah. I think I've learned how to be more intentional, you know, intentional with my passions and what I'm doing, and bringing intentionality to that, but also more intentional with my time and making sure I'm prioritizing it the way I want to make sure that it's prioritized, you know, for both my work and what I've got, and also, you know, intentional with people and being, you know, intentional in making sure that, you know, I call, you know, friends who I haven't seen in a while, or I make sure to, like, go out for a meal or something with someone, or that I make sure that I'm taking the time and not just locking myself in my room and, like, being, you know, even if I'm just, like, sitting in our living room, spreading out all of my stuff.
I don't know
everywhere.
What you're talking about.
And just sitting and reading a book. Just, like, being more intentional is the thing that I've learned the most this year, that I really didn't have before, and it's been really instrumental in helping me kind of love myself more.
I also definitely think that specifically AmeriCorps, but then also living with the both of you have been daily gentle reminders to be more intentional. with the choices that I make. And funnily enough, it also ties back to, like, why we decided to do our submission this way, through a StoryCorps, like, recorded conversation.
Mm-hmm.
For me, just because I felt that my relationships with the two of y'all are a big part of AmeriCorps, and I couldn't see doing a submission about the value of CAC AmeriCorps without having y'all be a big part of it. So that's why I was, like, really excited when y'all were equally excited when I pitched this idea of
best
having...
idea you had, short of maybe those pistachio cookies you made the other week.
That's a good decision.
So I was just really excited that we were all on board to sit down, have a chat, record it, and send it in to the good folks at the CAC AmeriCorps office. So thank you both. Thank you, listeners, for sticking around for more than 40 minutes of us yapping on about how much we love each other and AmeriCorps.
Nothing new.
This is just a typical day at the Sullenses. excited about 25 years and just hope it gets bigger and better for...
I can't wait to see what happens in the next 25 years here. I can't wait to come back for the 50th.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes. But yeah. Thank you. Now we're done.